They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
Welcome to the Student Union, everyone. I'm your host, the Chancellor, Pastor Marcus. Hi. Campus chapter at the University of Maryland, and we have with us Reverend Eric Linthicum. How are you doing today, Eric?
Hey, Marcus, doing fine. How are you?
Doing fantastic. We're recording this the day after daylight savings time, and I told you I could get up early, and that means something different for you than it does me. Just finishing my first cup of coffee here early in the morning as we kind of make our way through daylight savings time changes together. But what's the weather like out there on the East Coast?
It is damp. They had promised us a beautiful weekend. They lied. It was rainy and cold. It had been nice, and we're looking at some great temperatures coming up. So, this is all good for our cherry blossoms that are going to be happening here shortly.
You know, we have stuff in bloom down here in the Southwest, and I got to tell you, I didn't realize I had allergies to this stuff. Do you have a lot of allergies on the cherry blossoms? Do they give off a lot of stuff?
No, not at all. I had more allergies when I lived in Cincinnati. That was bad. But out here, nothing. It's been clean.
Well, Pastor Linthicum is the pastor at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Hyattsville, Maryland. Now, as you know, Pastor Linthicum, Eric, that we have a very Midwestern-centric church body. I'm sure very few people know where Hyattsville is. Tell us a little bit about where Hyattsville is, how long you've been there, and just a little background about your church there in Maryland.
Well, Marcus, you know full well that you just started a topic that you will be hard-pressed to get me to stop talking about it. I love serving here at Hyattsville. I love Redeemer and the ministry that God has led me to. So I've been at Redeemer a little over 5 years now. Redeemer, like you said, is in Hyattsville, Maryland, Prince George's County. We are about a mile and a half outside of the District of Columbia. If you remember, the District of Columbia, at least it used to be a diamond until Virginia took a chunk back. But picture it as a diamond. We are on the northeast leg, about 2 miles out of the district, mile and a half, 2 miles out of the district. For Student Union purposes, that puts us about a mile south of the University of Maryland. The congregation.
I don't think most people realize how close the University of Maryland is to D.C. You're just, did you say a mile and a half away from the outskirts?
We're a mile and a half. So Maryland going straight into the district, the University of Maryland would be about 3 miles from the main part of the campus, right, to get into the District of Columbia line would be about 3 miles.
And, of course, for those of you that, we have a very Big Ten-centric church body, too. This is now Big Ten. Excuse me. This is now Big Ten country, is it not? University of Maryland's in the Big Ten?
It is now, yes.
This is a big-time school. I have to tell you, I didn't realize till about 2 or 3 years ago that the University of Maryland was that close. Of course, I've been living out west all these years where everything is so far away from each other. Whereas back east, everything's a little bit more smashed together.
Boy, that's the truth.
But anyways, tell us a little.
We are definitely densely populated.
Yeah, tell us a little bit more about Redeemer.
So Redeemer is, I feel it's a fairly unique congregation in our circles. We have folks who were born in about 23 different countries.
Wait, did you say 23?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
That's pretty
wild. We have
wild.
Three different continents. We have seven different primary languages in the congregation. We've got a couple folks who do not speak English at all.
Wow.
But one's trying. He just turned 90, and he's really trying. He just learned scissors the other day. He was very excited about that. And he's trying to teach me Tigrinya. which he's a better student than I am. Marcus, you may remember from our seminary days, languages was not my strength, and it still isn't. But he's a great guy. He's ordained in the church in Eritrea, and
oh, wow.
He's helping with our Tigrinya speaking folks.
Now, where is Eritrea?
It's off the coast. It's off the side of Ethiopia.
Okay.
So it's on the coastal side of Ethiopia. So, in fact, at one time that was all one country, and then there was a civil war and a division. So,
my personal primary care physician here in Albuquerque is Eritrean. So,
really?
It is a small world. We certainly have. Is there a predominance of, when you said 23 countries, is there a predominance of folks from several countries, or is it spread out fairly evenly?
The predominant is the Eastern African, the Ethiopians and Eritreans, which by the way, when I first said to somebody that my congregation had both Ethiopians and Eritreans, they said, that's not possible. Because in Africa, they don't like each other. There was the Civil War, but when they come to Redeemer, this is about the sanctuary of God, and that is our unifying. We are not Ethiopian or Eritrean or American or German or Irish. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. And so another thing I think that makes us kind of unique is we are a liturgical congregation. The liturgy is our unifying culture. Because we come from all kinds of different backgrounds, we come and we wrap around a liturgical style of worship, and that brings us all together. It's great when you hear the creed being confessed or the Lord's Prayer, and you can hear these different nuances and accents. It's just awesome. And I like to say, every time I step into the pulpit, I get to see a glimpse into heaven. I see people of different races and tribes and languages gathered together before the cross of Christ. It is just amazing. I love serving this congregation.
Well, that's fantastic to hear. I know I had a chance to come and visit. I guess it's a couple of years ago now, maybe a year and a half ago or something like that. And I got to say, you guys have to have some awesome potlucks, huh?
Oh, yeah, the food is awesome. But you better get used to eat with your fingers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My first meal that I was looking at, I don't know what any of this is, but it's amazing. Potlucks are not what you find in the Midwest. That's for sure.
Now, if I recall, you have some different events that you hold during the year. Don't you guys do something around Pentecost?
We do. On Pentecost, we have the services done in seven different languages.
Wow.
And all done by primary speakers of that language. So it's not like we have somebody who went out and took Spanish class and came in and will read the lesson in Spanish. It's a Spanish speaker or a German or Tigrinya, Ge'ez, Amharic, Swahili. We unfortunately, I got to tell you the story real quick. We lost our Chinese speaker, but let me tell you this. We had a couple come to Bible study just in order to hear English being read. That's why they came. They were not believers. They didn't have any interest in believing. They were trying to improve their English skills. Next thing I know, they started coming to worship. Next thing I know, they're participating and becoming more and more active. And then, as it turned out, he was a student at the University of Maryland. And they went back to China. About 3 months after they went back to China, I got a letter from the wife who said, the seeds you planted have been watered. We have been baptized into Christ.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, that's fantastic to hear.
Yeah.
So, it's kind of an older church, right? The building and whatnot.
We're 60 years old.
60 years old.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And you have a unique, if I recall when I was there, the way you utilize the facilities, you have stuff going on there all the time. Tell everyone, I always tell everybody that every congregation has to ask, well, who is our neighbor? Well, you have a lot of neighbors.
Yeah, we
working,
sure do.
Moving, and having their being in and within the walls of your church and your school facilities. Tell us a little bit about that, how you've utilized your space.
It's been wonderful. Unfortunately, a few years ago, as it is becoming more and more frequent, we lost our Lutheran Day School, which was the gem of, in fact, our Lutheran day school predated our congregation, so it was our identity. So we went through a little identity crisis for a while. But as God is so good, even in the midst of losing that precious gem, he started opening doors. I like to say, God opened doors I didn't know existed. And the first door that opened for us was Lutheran Mission Society of Baltimore, Maryland, was looking to plant a new compassion center inside the Beltway. We're well inside the Beltway. And a compassion center is a place that operates, they don't like these words, but operates similar to a thrift store a couple days a week. But one day a week, it operates where it's a ministry where people can come in and ask, and they will get two items of clothing for each member of their family, and then food depending on the size of their family. Then they get to meet with a parish nurse who will talk to them about healthy eating or actually whatever questions they might have. And then they get to come, we have a chapel service for them. So we minister to the whole person. We, you know, James said, what good is it to tell men, go and be well fed? We feed, we clothe, we make sure that they have health information, and we make sure that they have the bread of life. And so that's ministry that opened. There then just a little while ago, a former member came who operated daycare, preschool type thing, asked if she could use our no longer being used daycare space, and is renting that out. She has invited us. She initiated us offering a chapel service for her kids. She makes sure that her parents get invited to our worship services. I'm invited to go up and be around the kids and interact with them. And we already have had people come and visit the congregation through that program. And then one of our members is on the board of Lutheran Social Services National Capital Area, who found themselves in need of office space for the Immigrant and Refugee Resettlement Program. And we were able to provide that office space for them. So they're now on our facility. And basically, every immigrant and refugee coming into our region has to come through our building. We have an opportunity to reach out and let them know that we are a multicultural, international congregation, and they would be more than welcome to be in and worship with us. So that ministry is just getting underway for us.
Well, that's
and fantastic. Then on top of everything else,
that's not it.
We started the LCMSU.
So, but first, before we talk about the college kids, wow, it sounds like there's stuff going on there all the time, and it's fascinating how here you can have the congregation had to deal with the closing of the school, and oh my gosh, are we dying as a congregation? You know, all those thoughts that surely come with
it.
And here God has other plans, and here you are offering chapel, maybe not to your own kids necessarily through the school, but God is bringing people to you. That's fantastic.
Isn't that amazing? God is good. God is good.
That is just fantastic. So yeah, tell us about, as I said, I mean, you're reaching out to everybody in the area, and you are not that far from the University of Maryland, and I remember you, for our listeners, Eric and I are classmates from back in the day, 1996 in Fort Wayne. I think we represent, 8% of the class that year? No, not quite. Dr. Rast isn't listening, but he'll probably hear that one now. No, we had a fairly small class, or maybe 45 of us or so, but Eric and I are classmates. We've known each other for many, many years. But you had contacted me a year and a half ago, telling me, I got college. How has this come to be? Give us a little bit of the backstory here.
So, again, another topic I love to talk about. So we did not have a presence on the University of Maryland, a campus ministry on the University of Maryland. And as I investigated that, I found that it's very difficult to establish one because there are so many campus ministries and groups there that you're kind of competing. So as we were trying to, look at this, we were praying about this, we're trying to move forward. And again, you were out and had a conversation with a couple of my young folks, and we were talking about that. And another dimension to that, by the way, is that it's not just the University of Maryland that's nearby. Sure. We have Catholic University of America, American University. We have Trinity College. There's a whole bunch of colleges within just a few miles. And so, like you were talking about earlier, it's we're compact out here.
Well, and then you add ones even farther into D.C. You got George Washington, you got Georgetown, you've got the. I mean, there's right. really. It's amazing how many college students are in the D.C. metro area altogether. But right. Catholic University of America, that's where Justice Scalia, that's where the funeral was for that, right? At the cathedral there?
Yes. Okay. Yep. And that's 4 miles from the church. Okay. Yeah, just literally right down the street.
Uh-huh.
And so we have a very, I think you remember meeting, we have a member that's very faithful in worship who's attending CUA. So anyway, as we were looking at this and trying to investigate how do we move forward, all of a sudden a young man came to worship on a Sunday morning, identified himself as an LCMS member from the state north of Ohio. I can't remember its kind of name. I don't remember what it is. maybe it starts with a mish. I don't know. Anyway, he started worshiping with us. He's a student at the University of Maryland. And next thing you know, there's four or five of his friends attending. And boy, this is past October. One of his friends was baptized into Christ. And that particular Sunday, we had about 55 students from the University of Maryland with us.
How many did you say you had?
About 55.
55 students?
Mm-hmm. Came to this gentleman's baptism.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yep. Yeah, it really is. So I was talking to the students coming from Maryland, the ones that are coming on a regular basis, and I said, you know, I know about Andrew. How did this all happen? She tells me that they were attending an ELCA congregation, which is right on the campus, just right, literally across the street from the campus,
mm-hmm.
and in attending worship, and the gentleman who was baptized is seeking baptism, they detected that the pastor was preaching heresy.
No. Say it's not true.
I know. And so they went out and bought catechisms and read them from cover to cover. And said, yeah, he's preaching heresy. So they sat with a pastor who did not agree. And so they started seeking out other Lutheran churches, and they found us.
Now, have you had any luck attracting, we got about 5 or 6 minutes here left. Have you had any luck, had any fortune in attracting non-Lutherans?
Oh, this young lady was raised Nazarene.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, but seeking, absolutely, we absolutely have. And they were seeking someone who, yeah, you wrote an article recently, a blog about the young people being involved in pro-life.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for folks who think that the young people are lost or whatever, they don't know.
They're awesome.
Absolutely not true. And they are seeking absolute truth. They do look for truth. They look for people to be authentic to what you say you believe this, then preach it.
Well, and there's certainly an element that you know, when you can't escape, you know, some of what you see on the news in terms of what's going on our college campuses where it does seem
right.
like young people are lost, but that's not the whole story. For every young person that seems like they don't get it, there's one or two that does. But
right.
Well, it is absolutely awesome that you have this congregation there, that God is bringing people to you, that you have an outpost. You know, a lot of times people think that, well, we can't start an LCMS campus ministry because we don't have all that many LCMS students that we are connected with. And I always say, you know, why is that stopping you? There's plenty of
right.
there's plenty of people that need to be reached out to with the love of Christ, and thank you for doing that. You know, I got to tell you, you know, I was just there about a month ago, and
what?
I didn't.
You were here a month ago.
I was in College Park. I was only there for like 3 days, and I've been meaning to tell you that I didn't have the opportunity to contact you. I was just really really busy.
What brought you out here?
Well,
I thought it'd be me, but okay.
Well, you know, I don't want you to feel bad. I know I was probably like a mile or two from your house and from your church. I felt bad the entire time that I was there, and I was doing something really important, and I guess I'll just go ahead and tell. Wow, are we on the radio? I think I'll just tell everyone. The reason why I was there is because I am pleased to announce that the 2017 LCMSU National LCMS Campus Ministry Conference will be in your backyard right there at the University of Maryland. That's why I didn't come visit you, because I had to be under the radar a little bit, buddy, because everybody's been bugging me about where are we going, when's the next conference, and I knew that as soon as I went there, you'd be posting, Zill's with me, we're on Facebook smoking a cigar somewhere or something,
yeah,
and
right.
Then everybody would go, aha, we know what he's up to.
We know where it's going to be.
So,
anyway. That's awesome news.
Hopefully that makes it up a little bit that I didn't. The good news is what it means is that I'll be coming out quite a bit. And hopefully you and your congregation, we not only will have a chance to highlight you and your students and your congregation here on the radio today, which we're happy to do, but also maybe have a chance to involve you a little bit with the conference and whatnot. And anyway, so for everybody else out there, and to be honest, Pastor Linthicum and I, everybody, we had already kind of talked that we were going to do that shtick. Actually, I didn't contact you, but once I left and I knew that, I was like, you know, I better tell him. I did let him know. But the bottom line is the next, the third LCMSU conference, the last two have been St. Louis. This one is going to be at the University of Maryland in College Park. On January 4th through 6th, 2017. The theme, you know, the first conference we 2013, we tackled apologetics. It's called Unwrapped. Second conference last year, we tackled marriage and sexuality issues. It was called Taboo. This one, we are going to tackle something that is actually really pertinent today. We see it all over our campuses. I get more phone calls in my position as a director of campus ministry on issues surrounding religious liberty. And so this conference is going to be focused on liberty. And so later today or tomorrow, we'll be putting out all the PR, save the date stuff, posters will be coming. We're going to have a congregational-wide mailing throughout the Synod. We have never done that before. A lot of people out there, folks, are saying that we can't get 400 or 500 people in Washington, D.C. I think we can get 400 or 500 college students in Washington, D.C. And we are going to do some creative things in terms of some retreats around the country heading into the conference. We are also going to develop, I'm working right now on a busing plan, not for desegregation purposes, the idea is to get buses all over the country that people from various campus ministries or students, maybe you're a student, you don't know anybody, you have a chance to go. Save a little bit of money. We'll help subsidize it. Road trip together to and from the conference so you can be talking about the things that you learn both before and after. So a lot of creative things along the way, but we're going to focus on religious liberty, and the theme of the conference is liberty. And anyway, so I had a pretty good reason for not getting a hold of you while I was there.
Yeah.
And the University of Maryland, you know what's interesting? I have not found that. I'm pretty sure the University of Maryland has the largest chapel on campus of any secular university in the country. I think it seats about 1,100 people or something. Secular schools a lot of secular schools will have like a little alumni chapel. This isn't a little alumni chapel. This is a big chapel. And so we're going to take that over. It'll be wonderful to talk about religious liberty, have a pipe organ, blast that puppy, sing God's praises in the midst of a secular college campus, and talking about the liberty that we not only have in terms of the kingdom of the right, but also the kingdom of the left, both which are, of course, worth promoting. The freedom that we have in Christ, and also the freedom that we still, at least now, have to speak freely, you know, the First Amendment. And both of these things are important. So,
Marcus, are you aware of the name of the chapel?
Actually, I don't remember the name.
It was built in memory and honor of all the Maryland students who served in World War II. I think that's just kind of irony for your
who fought topic. Fought to help defend our liberty.
Yes.
So, well, that is awesome. Well, we've got to wrap it up here. I'm sure we could keep talking, but thanks for being with us. Thank you to your congregation for all that it does to support the young people, the church, as well as all of the wonderful neighbors from around the world that God is bringing your way. And I promise you, Eric, the next time I come to Washington, D.C. area, I will make sure that I look you up, and I'll let you know in advance.
Well, we've got you on radio now, so you're going to hold you to it.
All right. Take care, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Marcus.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
Well, that's all we have time for here on the Student Union. Remember, you can check out all the archives at KFUOAM.org. And remember, wherever you are, college is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help.